Our passage this morning is Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. You can find that in the Pew Bibles there on page 869. While you find that, I'll just remind you where we are. Jesus has set his eyes toward Jerusalem. And as he begins his journey there, he has sent out 72 to go into various towns and villages, proclaiming good news and healing the sick and sending out demons in anticipation of his visit. And along the way, as others are paying attention, a lawyer last week had some questions for Jesus, and Jesus responded with the parable of the Good Samaritan, showing what it is to love our neighbor. And so we arrive here with this interaction with Mary and Martha in chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. May the Lord bless the reading, hearing, and response to his holy word. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We've been in Luke now since December of last year. It has been a joy to walk through this beautiful gospel. For some of you, perhaps it's been slow. You want to chew it even more slowly. Some of you may be asking, well, how much longer? But we are gifted to have the ability to, at whatever pace, hear and study and respond to God's word. And so let me just pray that the Lord would bless our time considering it further. Gracious God, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift, including your holy word, your instruction, your revelation to your people, that we would know you and know what it is to follow you, that we might love you and love others in your name. Lord, bless us by your Spirit. Give us understanding and direction. Help us to respond in a way pleasing to you. What I have to say for your people this morning, glorify you and be for their good. Would all that falls short be quickly forgotten? This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So are you a Mary or are you a Martha? Did you ask yourself that question as I read the text this morning? Have you been asked that question during a Bible study or a sermon that you've engaged previous to this morning? Let me ask you how you feel about that question and the way that you might potentially answer it. Does it stir up anxiety, pressure, fear, maybe pride? It's a common question. It's one that's been asked a lot. I've heard it plenty of times. It reflects a form of a question that we ask ourselves on an almost constant basis. Who am I supposed to be? Many people are going back to school or starting at new schools. Some of you may be starting new jobs. Others moving to a new town. And we ask that question, who do I need to be to fit in here? What's expected of me so that I can be accepted? Is this a school where being athletic is important? Or dressing a certain way, or being academically gifted, what type of person do I need to present as so that I can get along? Am I moving into a town where I'm judged by the expense of my car or how much mud I have on my quarter panels? We're pretty used to asking such questions. And so it's understandable that when we come to this text, we might ask that of ourselves or have others ask that of us. Are you a Mary or are you a Martha? My argument this morning, which I pray is a reflection of the truth of God's word this morning, is that that is not the question we are meant to ask from this text. But rather, such a question is a reflection of the problem at issue in the text. It's a reflection of what's going on in the heart and mind and practice of Martha that Jesus confronts. So very often we come to Jesus, we come to God saying, "What must I do to be accepted? What type of person do I need to be? What expectations do I need to meet in order to find acceptance, dignity, worth? What must I give to you, O God, to get what I need or get what I want?" This is the issue at play in the text. It is not about personality type. It is not about whether God prefers those who are good at being present and relational and contemplative versus those who are active servants who like to do. It is not about extroverts versus introverts. It's not about a personality type. It's about a posture, about how we relate to Jesus. The contrast reflected by Mary and Martha are two different ways of approaching Jesus. We're going to spend some time reflecting on those. First, Martha's posture and approach, and then Mary's, and what those implications are for us. And we start with Martha's. What I think we see from this text is that Martha's approach to Jesus is about give and take, or giving in order to get. We'll look at the passage and how it points to that. But first, let's start with commending Martha. Let's acknowledge that this happens in the context of Jesus sending out the 72 to the various towns and villages that he plans to visit in anticipation of his own visits. And so as he comes to this town, which we read elsewhere in Scripture is Bethany, what does Martha do? She receives Jesus. She offers him welcome and hospitality. And this is probably indicative of the fact that she had prior welcomed some of the 72 that had been sent out. She's welcoming Jesus. That is a good thing. She's showing hospitality. That is a good thing. That is a biblically mandated thing. She's showing hospitality. But then what happens as she does so? The passage tells us that this is her home. This is a pretty unique situation in which she seems to be serving as the head of the household, kind of the main host. This is an important position. But with that set of influence and abilities and capacities comes a responsibility. And it says in verse 40, "But Martha was distracted with much serving." Some translations out there use the language of cumbered, as in she's encumbered with serving, as if she's burdened. And Jesus, as he engages her a few verses later, in response to her request, Jesus says to Martha, he says, "Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." Think of how this reflects the scene. Jesus is an important and popular teacher. He's come to town. Martha welcomes him, and she's now busy with the tasks of welcome. She's probably overseeing the preparation of a significant meal fitting the guest. But in all likelihood, she's probably preparing to house Jesus for a time, and maybe even some of the 12 disciples. There's a lot to do. And it's right and good that she's serving hospitality. It's expected, it's commanded of God, and yet with that command has come a certain sense of cultural obligation and expectations. That when you show hospitality, when you honor an important figure, an important guest, you get honor. You get benefit. In fact, there's a whole kind of cultural economy. Someone does something for the town, they get to have their name written in various places around town. They gave something, they get something in return. A patron would do something for someone else, which in turn obligated them to give them something back. And it seems as if Martha, seeking to serve the expectations of being a good host, of hosting an important person, is not only a fulfillment of the biblical command, but of falling into this trap of, what will I get from what I give? And you can see this at work in her conversation with Jesus. She says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" And hear what she's implying. Look at all I'm doing. Look how much I'm doing. I shouldn't have to be doing this much. She should be helping me. Look how much I'm giving you. Next verse. Tell her then to help me. Do you notice that this man who the passage refers to as Lord, this great rabbi followed by tens and hundreds, if not thousands of people, Martha commands, tell her to help me. Look what I've given you, Jesus. Look what I'm doing for you, Jesus. Therefore, you are obligated, according to my fulfillment of expectations, to give to me what I want, what I think I need. Look at what I'm doing for you. This is what you should do for me. I am giving, now I'm taking. Won't you serve me by telling Mary what she needs to do? Have you seen people relating to God this way? Have you related to God this way? God, I've been obedient. Stop my suffering. Why am I suffering? God, I'm doing these things for you. Whether or not you specifically asked me to do these things for you, look at all I'm doing for you. Won't you do this for me? This is a form of self-justification. Last week, we read of the lawyer who wants to test Jesus and show his knowledge, and Jesus gives him an opportunity to show his knowledge, but then the text says he wants to justify himself, so he asks that question about who is my neighbor, right? And we get a sense from that passage that it comes from a place of arrogance, a sense of pride and self-righteousness. Look how good I am. But the temptation to justify ourselves, to fit a mold, to do a series of things, to be a certain way, can be self-justifying not only out of arrogance and pride, but out of a low sense of self. I want acceptance. I want dignity. I want to feel important. I want to feel loved. What do I need to do to get that? I've met people that have struggled with that, maybe not with God, but with other people. Who, because they've experienced a lack of love or dignity in their lives, are willing to go to all kinds of great lengths just to be liked or accepted by other people. Mary wants to receive help with, Martha wants to receive help with Jesus. Maybe this has been something that's been going on for a while. We don't know. Maybe this is typical of Mary. Maybe Martha frequently hosts guests and Mary is frequently off doing other things. I'll address that later. Martha's problem seems to be not that she is working hard, that she's a servant, that she seems to have a direct personality, but her desire to prove herself in order to get what she desires. Some of us fall into this when we think that we are more acceptable to God if we read this text and say, well, I'm like Mary. I'm good at sitting with people and talking with people. I'm a real relational person. I don't get too caught up with doing and being. Do we get a sense of pride or justification in thinking we're like Mary? Or if we're like Martha, do we assume, well, God seems to like Mary's better. And if I'm a Martha, then I have to work really hard to be a Mary so that I can be accepted. Let me ask, brothers and sisters, do we as a church and fellow Christians project that on others, that there is a certain disposition, a certain personality, a certain type of gifts that make you acceptable, and only when you have been made acceptable can you draw grace and favor and belonging? Essentially, what this comes down to is thinking we can buy God's favor. that God needs something from us and will withhold it until we meet his expectations, his personality type, a certain type of service, a certain standing, even repentance, saying, God, I have to repent well enough to the exact detail in order for you to forgive, rather than what repentance really is a reception of the forgiveness that is offered. Martha's problem is not that she doesn't have Mary's personality type, that she doesn't have Mary's range of gifts, experiences, or tendencies. Martha's problem is that she is trying to use the ones that Martha has to impress and show her worth so that she can take what she wants, or at least what she thinks she needs. And as Jesus answers, repeating her name in loving emphasis, his response is not to reject her, but to draw her to something better. Not saying, be Mary, or be like Mary, but to make the choice that Mary has made in this situation. Rather than giving to get, approach Jesus ready to receive. What Jesus commends is that Mary is receiving what God is giving in Jesus. So rather than getting in order to get, rather than giving to take, this is about receiving and then responding with giving. In verse 39, we see that Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Sitting at his feet, this is the posture of a disciple or a student, submitting to the master or teacher. Mary is enjoying the presence, receiving the presence of Jesus, receiving his authoritative teaching, his instruction. While Martha is often busy, apart from Jesus, to do the things of welcoming him and showing hospitality, Martha is actually present with Jesus to enjoy and receive his presence. Growing up, we had a lot of guests in my house. My dad grew up as a missionary, and so we had a lot of missionaries and foreign visitors into our home. And one of the things we realized with a small kitchen and often not being very organized was that when we'd invite someone over to dinner, dinner wasn't ready. And so we'd be in the kitchen, but it was a small kitchen. There was no place for the people to be. And if they did squeeze in, they're standing the whole time. And so when my brother was coming along and we needed a bigger house, and my dad started building the addition, my mom said, we need a big kitchen. Not because she was going to change and be more organized, but just acknowledging that, well, we're going to keep cooking and we need a place for people to come be with us, and they can sit down at the kitchen bar so they can have a place, or sit down in the swing so that we can talk and be present. We know this issue, and perhaps you've experienced it. You're so caught up doing something for the person, you're not with the person. How much more significant when that person is Jesus? Mary is not only receiving the presence of Jesus, but she is listening to his teaching. She is receiving his instructions and commands, and of course, the proclamation of the good news of the kingdom. In that, she is also being honored by Jesus, who accepts her at his feet as a disciple in a day and age in which women were not expected or even appreciated with a capacity to serve as disciples. And yet Jesus is dignifying her, giving her worth and value by receiving her at his feet. This begins to point to the one thing that is necessary that Jesus speaks of. While overseeing the meal prep and finding the bed linens is good, the one necessary thing for Mary and for Martha that Jesus wants for Martha is for her to receive what he is giving. Rather than offering in order to take, she is meant to take what Jesus is offering. Notice how Jesus describes Mary's action. Passage says in verse 42, Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. Mary has received what is offered. But hear the implication here. Chosen the good portion. Portion can mean inheritance. It can mean a portion of land that has been allotted to you in the Old Testament. In the book of Joshua, it often speaks of the portion that was given to a certain tribe. But it could also refer to a portion of the meal. The Levites and the priests received a certain portion of food offered. And so Jesus is effectively saying, you have welcomed me into your home, but I am serving as host. And Mary has chosen the good portion, right? Because isn't this the practice? If the person is the guest, you serve the guest first. They get the first choice. I have to tell my boys, I know you love the drumsticks. But if we have a guest and they prefer the drumstick, they get first choice, so you might have to deal with something else. You give the guest the first slice of cake or pie, right? They're the guest. You honor them. But the implication is that though Jesus has been received into the home, he has been received in order that he would host and that he would offer to those in the house the choicest portion of what he is offering. This is consistent with the way that God operates. God gives. God has created the world and established Eden as a garden paradise within it, and he gives that as the place for Adam and Eve to have their abode, to which they are to respond with working it and obedience. God calls Abraham and says, Abraham, you and your wife are barren. I am going to give you a family. I'm going to give you a covenant. I am going to give you an inheritance and blessing, to which he's to respond with faith and obedience. God delivers his people out of captivity. He gives them rescue. He says, you are my treasured possession, a kingdom of priests unto the nations. And having received that, then they are to obey the covenant commands. Jesus came to give God's word. He came to give God's instruction. He came to offer God's correction. He came to offer healing, liberation from the demonic, forgiveness of sins, to which the people were to respond with faith, to give in return obedience, to give in return service. This is the pattern, not just of Jesus' ministry, but of the very God that he comes to reveal. Which then leads us to consideration of the most important thing that Jesus is giving. Let me read again verse 42. Okay, and hold on to this verse because I'm going to read something else from the Old Testament. The end of verse 42. Mary has chosen the good portion, again, which here refers to the portion of meal, which will not be taken away from her. Then I'm going to read Psalm 16:5. The words of King David as he struggles with his call to be king and enjoy his kingship against enemies and people that flow and work against him. And this is what Psalm 16:5 says: the Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. David says, you, O Lord, are my chosen portion. You are the best thing of all that I could have. I choose you, and you hold my lot. You preserve my inheritance. It will not be taken from me. Even as Jesus is alluding to himself as host and giver, and he gives instruction, he gives the opportunity to be a disciple, he gives his presence in what he is giving us the Lord God. Remember what Luke 10:16 said a few verses back, if you were here with us, when Jesus sent out the 72, the one who hears you hears me, the one who rejects you rejects me, the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me, which conversely means he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Jesus came to give us God. This is what we were made for. Eden was meant to be the place we experienced the presence of God himself, to walk in fellowship with him. And so Jesus comes as God incarnate, taking on our sin, giving us his righteousness, so that sin could no longer keep us from the enjoyment of God's presence, so that we could have enjoyment of God's presence forever, so that when the kingdom culminates with heaven and earth becoming one, where there is no more temple because God is present with his people, we can be there because of what Jesus did for us. Mary's posture is that of a disciple, a Christian. Not because of her personality, but because she is receiving what Jesus offers. And whenever we have truly received him, received his goodness, received his holiness, received his authority, then we will be sent to give, to trust and obey, but also to give to others. Remember, just before this passage was a discussion of the second greatest commandment. Mary is not going to sit here under the teaching of Jesus, hearing his explanations and his teachings, without hearing the implications of the kingdom that affirm you are to love your neighbor as yourself. If you or Martha are struggling with a sense of unfairness, if Mary has been one to shirk her duties, if Mary has been one who has always found an excuse not to help Martha, and if scolding and shaming and guilting and manipulating hasn't worked, sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his words, experiencing his love, listening to his commands, if she hears them, she cannot continue in selfishness. She cannot but be a servant that will in fact need to love her neighbor, and by implication, love Martha by helping, thinking of others, and bearing one another's burdens. Here, I want to come back to Martha and those that would identify with her. There may be some of you who are struggling under the weight of the good things that you feel like you need to get done. There is so much on your desk at work. The laundry is piling up. You need to get food on the table. There is that project in the house that goes undone. Are you just saying these things don't matter? Is Jesus saying being hospitable doesn't matter, Martha? Instead of doing these things to get your worth, to say, look what I've accomplished, look what I've got done, and therefore bearing the recriminations when we don't get it done, or it's not done to our standards, or it's not done to the expectations of others. I am not telling you don't seek to do those things as Martha here would seek to do them, but do them having first received the love, acceptance, righteousness, and salvation of Jesus. So that you go into those things not to get your sense of worth, not to get your sense of justification, but you give of the feeding of your children. You give of the tending to your sick spouse, to hospitality, to strangers, to the visitation of the widows and the orphan. You give because you first received from Christ. And no matter how things go, whether the roast gets burned, the leaf piles scatter before they're bagged, the boss doesn't appreciate your work, that if you have received Jesus in faith, you have the eternal God, and that will not be taken from you. Death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not because you're Mary, not because you're Martha, not because you're bold and fiery like Peter, not because you're unsure like Thomas, not because you're young and tender like John, but because you have received the love of God in Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, you have given your word to us. Would we receive who you are, what you have done for us in Christ, the salvation offered? Would we receive the help of your Spirit, the blessing of brothers and sisters to help us walk in the ways, and in response, so give and so serve. Thank you for what you have given. In the name of Christ, amen.